Today, on The Spotter.
What do you do when you're up against 600 demonic spirits that are all bearing down on you at once, and all you have is a primitive farm tool? I'll tell you what you do. You lean on the supernatural leverage of the Holy Ghost. Because what you can't do with all your might, if you will take that might and love the Lord your God with all of your might, then He will apply the leverage that you need to get it done.
Hey everybody, thanks for joining me for the podcast today. I want to take you back to February the 9th of this year when I was with Bishop Roy Tucker at the Praising Place in Charlotte, North Carolina. I want to share with you a word that the Lord gave me for my dad's funeral, the power of leverage. Hope you enjoy the word.
My dad taught me a valuable lesson. Are you still with me? My dad was a master plumber. Makes sense now, doesn't it? Anybody know what this is? Pipe wrench. My dad was a master plumber. Hardest working man I've ever known. Had a work ethic that is above anyone else. At his viewing, prior to the funeral service, many of his co-workers, he was retired, but many of his co-workers through the years came through the line, and they would all say, your dad could work circles around anybody. In his 60s, still outworking the young guys, because that's the kind of man he was. He wasn't huge and strong, but he had a work ethic that wouldn't quit. My daddy was a master plumber. He was in the family business 50 years. My grandfather passed it on to him. And they did not pass it on to me because I didn't want it. You know why I didn't want it? I watched my dad. And I said, that looks too much like work to me. You ever watched a plumber work? I have. You see, when I was a boy, when you're in business for yourself, you got to answer the phone when it rings. It doesn't matter if you're eating supper with the kids or you watching the news at night or you just crawled into bed for the evening. If the phone calls, you answer it and you go because that's your bread and butter. My dad prided him. Is that the word, prided? Prided himself. I didn't bring my dictionary this morning. He prided himself on offering 24-hour service. This is back before cell phones, y'all. This is when the house phone would ring. And the house phone was on my mama's side of the bed. So I remember as a child in the evening or on the weekends when dad would get calls for service, he'd go on these service calls and he'd say, come on, son, we're going to go to work. And my dad would take me to work with him as a child. I remember when I was probably 11 or 12 years old, we lived right around the corner from the Stewart Road Church of God, Mansfield, Ohio, where I grew up. And dad always serviced the boiler for that church. My grandpa built that church, went to that church. My parents went to that church and took us to that church, and they worked on that church. And so I remember that particular day. There's a lot of things I watched my dad do, but this, the morning of his funeral, the Lord gave me this image and this memory again. And I used this at his funeral. I remember, 11 or 12 years old, he said, come on, we went to the church. We went into the boiler room. I can remember the way it smelled. The mildew, the water spraying all over the place. I remember the humidity because the pipes on this boiler had let loose and there was hot water all over the place. I remember the sights and the sounds. I remember my daddy, never afraid to get dirty, never afraid to get wet, dove in there and found the water. Of course, he knew where it was. He worked on it. He found the water valve and he shut it off. And my daddy, standing there soaking wet, began to troubleshoot and look for the fitting that was defective. And he found the fitting. It was all cast iron. He found the fitting, and he said, son, go out in my truck and find the pipe wrench that's so-and-so measurement. Now, I was the gopher. I was the one... Daddy said, go get this. And I went and got it. Usually by the third trip, I'd gotten the right tool. He'd ask me for something. I'd say, Daddy, what's that? He'd have to describe it to me. We didn't have Google back then. I couldn't pull out my iPhone and Google what's a pipe wrench. The morning of my dad's funeral, I got this idea to share this story at his funeral. I called my son from the hotel. He was staying at my mom's house. He's 18. I said, son, I want you to go out in the garage next to your papa's truck, and I want you to see if there's a pipe wrench out there. He said, what's that? I said, Google it. I remembered my dad taking a pipe wrench that was probably about twice as long as this. And he isolated that fitting. And he took that pipe wrench and he opened it up to the specification and the size of that particular fitting. And he stuck the wrench on it. And he began to bear down with all of his weight on that fitting. And it wouldn't budge. That church was about 20 years old. That fitting had rusted. It was cracked. It was spitting water everywhere, but it was rusted and it wouldn't budge. And I thought, well, now what? Dad didn't miss a beat. He looked around the room. He pointed over to the corner where there was a galvanized steel pipe about 4 feet long. He said, son, go get that pipe. I said, all right. I didn't know what he was going to do. I'm like, Dad, what are you going to do with that pipe? He said, you'll see. Some of you know where I'm going with this. Don't give it away. My dad took that pipe and he slid it down over the handle of the pipe wrench. He stuck it on that fitting, same spot, and then he went out to the end of that pole and he just began to apply pressure. And I heard it pop and come loose. I said, Dad, what happened? As a child, I was trying to figure this out. I was trying to understand why the pipe on the wrench made it possible for Dad to get something done with less strength that before he couldn't do with all of his strength. He said, son, it's called leverage. And he began to explain to me how leverage works. And that when you elongate that wrench, you can come way out here. And you can just lean on it and get it to move. It's the power of leverage. What do you do when you're up against 600 demonic spirits that are all bearing down on you at once and all you have is a primitive farm tool? I'll tell you what you do. You lean on the supernatural leverage of the Holy Ghost. Because what you can't do with all your might, if you will take that might and love the Lord your God with all of your might, then he will apply the leverage that you need to get it done. That's how one man can kill 600 men of the enemy with nothing but an ox goad. Because while Shamgar was on the end of that ox goad, God was on the other end of it. And God was applying the Holy Ghost to it. He was applying a Holy Ghost leverage. Hallelujah. What do you do when you come to a problem you can't solve and you've exhausted all of your strength? You've exhausted all of your wisdom. You've exhausted all the advice of others you trust. You've exhausted all of your money. You've exhausted all of your time. I tell you what you do. You pray, Lord, give me some leverage. Give me a Holy Ghost advantage. That's what leverage is. Leverage is mechanical advantage. That's what it is. When you put a pipe on the end of this wrench and use it to open a fitting that won't move. It's a mechanical advantage. Honey, when you've got supernatural leverage, you've got Holy Ghost advantage. Things that'll happen that could never happen before because the Holy Ghost got involved in it. I'm here to tell you today that there is power in the leverage of the Holy Spirit in your life. You ever had God promise you something and you had no idea how he was going to do it? I'll tell you how he did it. He did it with a little bit of your prayer, a little bit of pressure from you in the prayer closet, a little bit of pressure from you as you sought his face and you fasted, but then he put the big guns on it. On the end of that pole was the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost applying leverage to a situation, knowing that you couldn't do it, but he could do it, knowing that you didn't have the strength, but he had the strength. He said, Son, I'm not going to let you go into that battle by yourself. I'm going to send you in there with the Holy Ghost advantage. I've got an advantage. That's why the Bible said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because the Holy Ghost has given me leverage. Hallelujah. It comes from the French word levier. The root word, it means to elevate or to raise. Listen, to give minimum input that achieves maximum results. Ooh. Or the ability to gain more with less resources. Mm. When are we going to realize that it's not our battle to fight? When are we going to come to the place when we realize that God doesn't need all of our strength? God doesn't need what we have to get it done. The battle is not ours, it's his. Here we are, wearing ourselves out, trying to make things happen. When if we would understand the principle of spiritual leverage, we would understand that God will give us the maximum results for minimum input. Meaning that he will take control, that he will move the dial, that if he needs, in the case of Joshua who is fighting the enemy, if we need the sun to stop in the sky, Holy Ghost advantage, we'll get it done. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Some of you wondered, how am I going to get well? How am I going to pay these bills? How am I going to get a job? How am I going to pay off this debt? How am I going to do what God told me to do when I can't even get my own personal life together? How am I going to stand up and preach the word when I can't even stand up in a Sunday school class to give a testimony? How am I ever going to reach the lost when I feel lost by myself? How am I ever going to do this huge thing that God's put in my heart? Honey, do you know why God gives you vision? He gives you vision so that you will see in your tomorrow what he has already accomplished. To give you enough hope to stand up and to keep going. That's why he told Israel, don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left, but keep my commandments, keep my law, and keep moving. How do you do it? You have to know that God has leverage on your side. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Almost done. You don't believe that, do you? There's another part of this word leverage you've got to hear. I'm going to tell you about a dream. We're going to draw all of this together. Are you all right? The law of leverage is also called the principle of multiplier effect in the business world, because it involves duplicating yourself, using other people's time and effort and resources. And in order for that to work, The principle of multiplier effect or leverage, you must be able to successfully multiply yourself through other people. Think about this for a moment. In the business world, in the arena of marketing and sales, in order to gain maximum sales, you can't just do all the selling yourself. You have to employ others to help you sell. It's the principle of multiplier effect. And then when you're out eating dinner with your family, somebody's making money that goes into the company. The principle of multiplier effect. It's about multiplying yourself, multiplying your income, multiplying your bottom line by using the time and the talent and the energy of employees. I mean, we could just have a church leadership growth talk right here just on that subject, but that's not where I'm going. Did it ever dawn on you that this is exactly what Jesus did? Some of you don't believe me. John 14, verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, will he do also. Wait. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. That is the principle of multiplier effect. Jesus is leveraging his bride to grow the kingdom. Fortune 500 companies thought they coined the phrase, but Jesus was using leverage even before the engineers understood how a lever worked, even before businessmen and salesmen knew how multiplying factors work. Jesus had already set the law in motion. He said, I'm going to my Father, but when I go away, I'm going to send another comforter, and he shall come upon you, and you shall go into the world and preach the gospel. Come on now. Jesus multiplied himself by going to the Father, sending the Holy Ghost upon us, and when the Holy Ghost hit us, it didn't just come on you so you could shout and dance a little jig and speak in tongues. Honey, the Holy Ghost sat upon you so that you could become Jesus in the flesh, walking this earth, growing the kingdom of God for every soul that you reach down and pull out of hell. That's what the multiplier effect is all about. Listen to what he continued to say. He said, whatever you ask in my name, there it is. Whatever you ask in my name, the name of Jesus is the leverage. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Hallelujah. My Lord and my God. Paul took him at his word. In Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 18, it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved and probably slightly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee what in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And that very hour, the Spirit came out of her. What happened? Paul got tired of being pestered, annoyed by the spirit of darkness, and so he applied some leverage to the situation. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you. That's the name. That's the leverage. That's the secret to you to be victorious and successful, and to stand up when you've fallen down, and to declare the word when someone's tried to silence you, because it's the name of Jesus. Peter and John took Jesus to his word. In Acts chapter 3, now Peter and John went up together at the temple of the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave, he heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he reached down and took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately he stood, and his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he went in with them walking and leaping and praising God in the temple. Peter and John got tired of seeing this lame man sit at the gate every day when they went to prayer meeting, and so they said, Jesus said we could do works like he did. Jesus said we could do greater works like he did. So let's apply a little spiritual advantage to the situation. Let's apply some Holy Ghost leverage to the situation. And they invoked the name. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. If you believe God's given you leverage, why don't you give him a praise in the praising place? Why is that leverage? Because of Philippians 2 and 9, Paul said, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Invoking the name of Jesus gives me supernatural Holy Ghost leverage. This is why the world hates the name of Jesus, because they can't explain what happens when the name of Jesus comes upon our lips. They can't explain what's going on. They can't explain it away. They can't politicize it. They can't do anything with it, because you cannot dispute what happens in the natural when the supernatural power of Jesus' name enters the picture. That's why doctors walk out of hospital rooms stunned, because they don't understand. That's why the banker leaves you alone stunned, because he doesn't understand. That's why people around you that have watched you walk through hell and watched you go through the fire don't understand why you're still shouting and you're still dancing, because when you use the name of Jesus, nobody understands what's going on in the natural, because the supernatural leverage has touched.
Hope you're enjoying the word today. I want to share something with you. My book, my newest book, 10 Reasons Why, is going to be released on Tuesday, October the 27th. I want you to have your copy. You can still get a copy for free. Just text me the word restored at 31996. Just pay for the shipping and I will send you a free copy. Hope you'll take advantage of that, and hope you enjoyed the word today. I'll see you next time.
The biggest lie people like you and I have believed is that the Lord won't use us because of where we've been, but I believe the Lord will use us because of where we've been. Take a look at this list. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered. Rahab was a prostitute. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Jonah ran from God. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. Timothy worked himself up to an ulcer, and Lazarus was dead. That has got to be the most messed up, dysfunctional group of people that I've ever heard or read about. But that's the list of people whom God greatly used. For Noah built an ark for the saving of his house. Abraham became the father of Israel. Isaac was the child of God's covenant. Jacob wrestled with the angel until God changed his name. Leah bore Levi that would become the matriarch of the priesthood. Joseph became the prince of Egypt who saved his people. Moses led an entire nation out of captivity. Rahab begot the lineage of the Messiah. Gideon prevailed in battle with only a remnant. Samson fulfilled his divine destiny despite his blindness. David was a man after God's own heart. Elijah never died, but God took him in a whirlwind. Jonah preached a revival and a whole city was saved. Come on. Job prayed for his dissenters and God restored double of all he lost. Peter preached the first Pentecostal sermon. Timothy pastored the New Testament church and Lazarus was raised from the dead. That's the list of people that I'm on. That's the list of people that you're on. Hallelujah. It's proof that God will use you with his divine leverage, regardless of what you've been or where you've been or who you've been. God will not disqualify you for his service based on your vices, your age, your maturity level, your speech, your looks, your wounds, your disabilities, your history, your fear, your crimes, your self-destruction, your disobedience, your financial status, your betrayal, your health, or even your life. If God can use this deficient, messed up, unorthodox, dysfunctional group of people, then surely God can do something through you and I. Would you lift your hands and give God praise in this place for divine leverage? That's it. I'm done. If you want Holy Ghost leverage, get out of your seat and run down here. If you know God spoke to you, get out of your seat and run to this altar. Hallelujah. For some of you, today's the day you stop believing the lie. You stop believing the lie that you're disqualified. You stop believing the lie that you're too messed up to be of any use to God. It was never about you, honey. It was never about me. It was all about the leverage. He was the pipe on the end of the wrench all along. When I was preaching, it wasn't me that was getting it done. It was him on the end pushing with me. And his strength and his purpose and his power is what's doing it all along. He doesn't need what I have. I need what he has. Hallelujah. Stay with me just a few more minutes. Just a few more minutes. We're going to pray. We have any prayer warriors in this place, prayer team, pastor? You're already standing here. I should have known that. These guys up here look like they mean business. This is what we're going to do. I want you in just a moment, when I count to three, I want you to raise both hands above your head, forget where you are, forget who's around you, and I want you to declare your freedom from the expectations of man. What do you mean? I mean, people expect you to fail. People expect you to give up. People expect you to cower in fear. But I've come today to tell you that if you'll stand up in courage, God will meet that courage with leverage. Some of you just got it right then, the whole time. Some of you just got it. If you have courage, God will meet your courage with his leverage. Hallelujah. I want you to ask God, tell God, I'm free right now from the expectations of people. When people expect me to quit, I'm going to keep going. When they expect me to get knocked down, I'm going to get up and keep going. When they expect me to curse it, I'm going to bless it. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and begin to call on the name of the Lord in this place right now. Come on. Come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice.
Thank you for joining us today. Subscribe to The Spotter on any major podcast provider. Visit us at jeffwolf.org for more information and follow Jeff Wolf on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. To receive a copy of Jeff's newest project, absolutely free, 10 Reasons Why Pastors Are in Danger, text the word RESTORED to 31996. Message and data rates may apply. Remember to join us next week be blessed.